this morning. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 25 and the book of Revelation chapter 3. I want to minister a message that really dovetails into Sister Angela's message this morning. And I want to title this message, Faithfulness Has a Future. Faithfulness has a future. God has a plan. When you got saved, God did not just save you to keep you from going to hell. That's part of it, but it's a very small, minuscule part of it. It's just really a peripheral item that you don't go to hell. But God has a plan for your life, and that plan extends itself not for the next 10 or 20 years or to the end of your life, but throughout eternity future, God's redemption plan that he purchased at the cross benefits you and my life. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is speaking, and he says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the power on high. He's seated at the throne of God. But when he comes back at the end of the tribulation, he comes back to take over this planet and to govern this planet. And he will sit upon a throne in Jerusalem, and he will be, the government of the world will be upon his shoulders. He will run the entire planet. It's called the messianic or the millennial throne that he will sit upon. Here he says in Revelation chapter 3, this is after his death and resurrection. He gives this by prophecy to John. And this particular passage, he's speaking to the Laodicean church, which was the weakest of all the churches. And he gives them this magnificent promise, which goes to you and I as well. Chapter 3, verse 21, he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, just as I overcame and I'm set down in my Father's throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for this marvelous redemption plan that goes so far beyond our imagination. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. And it's not remotely entered into the heart of man, the things that you've prepared for those that love you. Father, I ask you that you'd give me the ability to speak plainly before your people, to lay this out in such a way that we can all comprehend the plan that you have for our lives throughout eternity future. Father, I ask you as well that you would bless the offering that we receive today. Lord, that each family, each individual that gives here in the worship room across the webcast, that you would return it upon them in such a way that they know and understand that God is smiling upon their life because of their faith in building the kingdom of God. We ask it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. So Jesus promised his disciples, and by extension, it's a promise to you and I, that when he sets in his throne, in the messianic throne, that you and I will be given a place to sit with him in his throne. And he paralleled it just like he sat in the Father's throne, that you and I would sit with him in his throne. Now, I've read this through the years of my salvation, and I'll be honest with you, I never really understood it. I just knew it was very good, but it's also just a little bit intimidating, is it? Isn't it? Am I truly to believe what he's saying here, that I'm going to sit with him in his throne? Just like he sat in the Father's throne? I mean, is that really the way that you look at this scripture and you understand the scripture? And after years of growth in the Lord and learning how to study and learning how to go into the Greek language, he's saying exactly what he means. That part of our salvation, As we are faithful, we will ultimately, in the millennial reign and in the golden age to come, we will sit in the authority of Jesus' throne the same way he sat in the authority of the Father's throne. And I know, we look at ourselves and say, well, I can hardly believe that. That's because you're looking at yourself. But the reality is that God is changing you every day. And on that day, when he comes and he puts you in your glorified body, you're going to realize that what you've lived in this life was all preparation for what he has for you. And your faithfulness, it has a future. Walking in integrity here, walking in faithfulness here, it impacts us throughout the millennial and throughout the golden age to come. But the point is that we must learn how to be faithful in this life. We must learn how to walk in integrity in this life. He gave the same promise, or a promise very much like it, to the church of Thyatira. In Revelation chapter 2, previous chapter, verse 26, he says, and he that overcometh, and let me explain this word, overcometh, it does not mean perfection. It does not mean he that achieves perfection. In these bodies, you will never know perfection. These bodies have been impacted by the sin nature. You're going to have that duality struggle in your mind this whole life. You're going to have to walk in the Spirit. That's the only way to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's going to be with us. But in that day, he takes away these old fallen bodies. He gives us new glorified bodies, like unto his glorified body. And now the sin nature has no more impact upon us. So the word overcome, it does not mean perfection. What it means is the one who will faithfully endure until the end, the way that Jesus faithfully endured until the end. It doesn't mean that you win every battle. It means that you fight every battle. It doesn't mean that someday you achieve perfection. It means that when he comes, you're still fighting the good fight of faith. He that overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Now stop and let that sink in. To the one that will walk with Jesus faithfully through this whole sinful, wicked generation that we in, he says, I'm going to give that one power over the nations. I mean, that's a promise that's way up there. Because right now you got infidels and you got gangsters running the nations. You got murderers and mass murderers running the nation. But in the millennial reign, under the headship of Jesus Christ, we, the body of Christ, will run the nations. That's why it is important for you and I to learn to be faithful. I've learned this so much and am learning this so much, having pastored over the last 30 years. It really doesn't matter what I think. I've learned that about living for the Lord. It's not a negotiation with me and Jesus. It's just, Master, what would you have me to do? What is my position? And it's not that I don't have an opinion, just like you have an opinion. It's that I've learned my opinion doesn't matter. Suck it up. And find out what is the will and the purpose of the Lord. He says, to that one that endures in that capacity until the end, I'm going to give that one power over the nations because I can trust that one. That one does not have their own will and mind and opinion that's in play, but that one is following the Lamb wheresoever the Lamb goes. And our faithfulness in that, it has a future far beyond this world. Now, I know that most people, when you think about, we think about our salvation, say, well, I'm saved from hell. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. And that's correct. But it pretty much stops right there. But you have to understand that when Jesus comes back after the tribulation, we're coming back from heaven to this planet. And this is where eternally we will abide on this planet. And God is going to move heaven to this planet when the New Jerusalem comes down, and he's going to walk amongst us, and this becomes heaven. He says, to him that overcomes will I give power over the nation, and he, that is the body of Christ under the headship of Christ, shall rule them, the nations, with a rod of iron. And as a vessel of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So here's a thought. Jesus had the authority of God the Father flows to Jesus Christ, and he has authority over all things. He inherits all things. And the authority of Jesus Christ flows to the body of Christ, and they are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, if you know your scriptures at all, you'll know I'm quoting scripture because it all fits together. This goes all the way back to Daniel. Daniel prophesied long before the Lord ever gave his life on the cross, because this was the mind and the will of God from the beginning. When he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, the foreknowledge of God saw the millennial and saw the golden age and realized how he wanted the government set up. And it's not until we begin to study our Bible and, more importantly, believe what we read, that it begins to open up. And we can see this is God's redemption plan. This is the plan of the ages. In Daniel, he says this, Daniel 7:18, he says, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Isn't that a wonderful promise? The kingdom of God, and when it is brought to this planet in reality and practicality, it is a kingdom that will be governed under the headship of Jesus Christ by the faithful saints who have lived for him when there was when the kingdom was only internal. Now, here's the thing. Here's what you have to understand. When Jesus comes back in the second coming of Christ, he will establish his kingdom, or actually in the millennial, he will establish his kingdom on this planet. But right now, he is establishing his kingdom in our hearts. Okay? If he's not king in the internal kingdom, you've rejected him as king of the external. He's got to be king of your life right now. It means you don't wait till the millennial to throw out your opinion and your will and your ways. It means you begin doing that right now, and he becomes the king of kings in your heart right now. And the kingdom that abides on the inside, I believe it was Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost that impacts the internals right now. And if you allow him to be king now, it's going to be very easy to work for him as king. But if you're rejecting him as king now, if you're constricting how much kingship, how much authority he can rule with in your life now, and let's be honest, if you're constricting how much kingship, how much authority he has in your life now, here's the chief reason. You're in love with the culture of this present age. Some aspect of this present age culture. And the culture of this age, I mean, it has tentacles that reach out from so many different directions. It can be money and advancement and prestige. Or it can be this wicked, ungodly rap culture that we have. Or it can be the sports culture. But it's something about this present world that puts its tentacles around us, and we don't allow Jesus to have total control of these vessels. And that's something that you're in training right now. Your faithfulness will have a future. Your unfaithfulness will steal away from your future. And I'll show you that in a moment. He goes on in verse 22 of Daniel, and he says, until the Ancient of Days, that is the Father, came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. This is all through your Bible, Old and New Testament, that it's God's good pleasure. You know what he said? He said, fear not, little flock. That means don't be afraid of this. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Meaning nobody's making him do this. This is the good pleasure of his own heart. This is what he's doing out of his own will. He wants us to be image bearers who are able to handle the aspects of government during the millennial age. But you got to be careful. You got to be faithful. You got to learn how to be faithful. You got to prove your faithfulness by enduring to the end in this present time. It says God's got great things in plan for us. But now is the time that we have to learn how to walk in the Lord, how to follow the Lord, how to obey the Lord, how to disregard your own will, your own wants, and your own ways, even your own intellect sometimes. It's no good. If God can only be as smart as your intellect, he can't be God like that. Let me say it again. If he can only be as wise as your intellect, then he's not much of a God. So in the book of Luke, and I'm running out of time so quickly, but I want to share this as best I can. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. Jesus tells a parable, and it is a parabolic statement, but at the same time, he's given us prophecy. Meaning he's given us insight into matters of eschatology, the future, our futures. And from God's perspective, prophecy is simply history that's written in advance. The foreknowledge of God, he can just write it before it happens, and it's going to happen exactly the way that he wrote it, because he is omniscient and knows all things. Verse 12, Jesus is speaking. He said, a certain nobleman representing Christ went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, speaking of the soon-to-be-established millennial kingdom, and then to return. And he called 10 servants, representing the entirety of every saint, and he delivered unto them 10 pounds. Now you'll notice, every saint got the exact same thing, 10 pounds. And if you'll notice, all of us have the exact same opportunity to grow and be faithful to Christ. All of us have 24 hours in a day. All of us have 66 books. Some of us didn't get 99. We all got 66 books. We all have the same time during the day. We all have the same Holy Spirit. But it's only to the degree that we apply our resources that we actually can bring a return to the kingdom of God. It may be you just witnessed to somebody and you just walk them through their conversion and make sure they do well. That's causing an increase to the kingdom of God. You may be writing letters to prisoners. As Paul wrote letters, he illuminated really the whole church. Certainly you and I could write a letter with 66 books that could illuminate one prisoner. It may be in a senior citizen's home. It may be in an effort like this in Pakistan. One of these babies that we just released from Pakistan could grow up to be the greatest evangelist that Pakistan ever saw. We don't know. We don't know. But it's our investment in the things of God. He gave them 10 pounds, and he said unto them, occupy. Now that word occupy in the original Greek, it means to engage in business. It means to make a gain. That's what he told them to do. And that's what he's told us to do. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He says, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, let's slow down right there. Most of us will never say, I hate Jesus. But many of us do not allow him to reign in our hearts. He's a peripheral. We take Jesus and just add him to our existing life, not realizing that God doesn't fit beside all your other mess. I don't want to be too hard about this, but I want to make a certain sound. God don't care about your career at all. He don't care about your career. He don't care about your favorite football team. He doesn't care about any of that because he has already laid out a path for you that, quite frankly, you can't choose your own life. He done already chose your life. He done already bought you with a price. You are no more your own. And many of us get in trouble because we're fighting, struggling, trying to do it ourselves when ultimately God is going to slap that thing down. I know what I'm talking about. A computer programmer for 20 years, and I would study, I would learn new languages, I would stay up at night just coding, and I was a terrific coder. And after 20 years at the height, $65 an hour, everything was wonderful for me. God took that career and just balled it up and threw it in the garbage can and said, "You work exclusively for me now." And I know that I will not be the only one that God does that to. So God is not, he's not concerned about the things you and I are concerned about. I'm going to just have to preach a little longer today. You know, sometimes we go home and we're like, our whole evening is gauged by, I have to be done with this stuff, and that's not reading the Bible, all my other carnal stuff so I can watch my program. God don't care about your program. Whatever your program is, it is a lie. It is not reality. And God has created an absolute reality for you to play out the story in God's reality, just as Paul and Peter and James and the rest of the apostles did, and millions of other Christians down through the ages. I don't care what's on TV. I'm writing, my heart is indicting a good matter. Speaking of the things that I have made as of touching the king. Letting my tongue be the pen of a ready writer. See, when you give this, and I don't want to lift myself up, that's not my, I can remember when I got saved, within 1 week I was witnessing. Didn't even know the scripture, but I had a conversion. And I was telling people about, here's what God did in my life. Having no idea at all that after I went through many trials and many deep waters, that God would have me in this place. A ministry that the signal of this ministry goes around the globe every week. What, just one, and I'm not educated. Just wonder, what could he do through your life if you gave yourself totally to him? What could he do through you? It starts by just letting him be king. I started by writing letters to prisoners, and that's what my first introduction to the anointing. I would write 3 to 4 or 5 letters a night, and my hand would cramp. It wasn't no typewriter then. My hand would cramp from writing letters so fast as I would feel the anointing flow and the words on the page going out to prisoners. And once a prisoner gets a letter, 5 of them send a letter back. Somebody will talk to me. It can be something as small as that, but you have to take the first step in letting Jesus lead you into your personal ministry. It'll change, no doubt, as you mature, but let him rule in your life. And so it says here that it came to pass that when he did return, they said they didn't want this man to rule over us, but when he did return, having now received the millennial kingdom, that he commanded those same servants to be called unto him. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where his people come before him. Not to go to hell. You're not going to hell if you're saved. But you may not receive rewards either. He commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained in trading. Remember, he said occupy. That means to make a gain. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said, well done, thy good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Catch that. Catch that. It's prophetic. It means that God looks at the one that has been faithful before the millennial ever started and says, because you have been faithful with little, I'm going to trust you to be faithful over much. And he puts him in a place of authority over 10 cities. Do you get that? Do you see it? And the next one comes. He says, and the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. It wasn't 10, it was only 5. And he said, likewise, be that over 5 cities. So the degree of faithfulness that they had prior to the millennial dictates the job they'll have going through the millennial. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here's your pound that you gave me. Didn't invest it, didn't make anything, didn't increase anything. And sadly, I think that's probably the majority of the church. It's sad, but it is. He said, I've kept it laid up in a napkin because I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. In other words, he's saying, I was going to have to do all the work and you was going to get all the benefit. You know, let me say this. I have no interest. After 30 years of being a pastor, I have no interest in continuing to be a pastor or having authority over whatever in the millennial. I have no interest in that. I just want what he wants. And he said, if he says, this is your job, then that is my job. And that's what I want to do. And all of us should have that same heart. God, I'm not picking this and picking that and picking the other. God, I just want what you want. Because I know that wherever you put me, that's where I'm going to be happy. That's going to be the best place for me. He said, I've kept it laid up in the napkin, for I feared thee. Verse 23. The Lord says, wherefore then gavest not thou my money to the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. You didn't make any talent. I gave you a talent. You gave me a talent back. There's no increase. And I think there's too many of us as Christians concerning the things of God and the kingdom of God. There's been no increase. As a matter of fact, modern Christianity is known for what's my blessing? When is my season coming? What am I going to get? Does it sound like I'm scolding you? But check yourself out. I'm not beating anybody up here. We all had an opportunity to give of ourselves to release these families from bondage. How many actually did it? It's all about me. It's all about my... Oh, and I know we got good excuses. I know we are supreme at excuses. But in that day, Jesus said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound. Take from him what I gave him and give it to him that has 10 pounds. Meaning that God wants the resources to go to those Christians who are going to use it for the glory of Jesus Christ and to lift up Christ. Your faithfulness, it has a future. It's not just about going to heaven. Sometimes we think that, you know, we die and we'll be just sitting on a cloud, just playing a harp throughout eternity. No, 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 no. God gave us these wonderful bodies because he intended us to use them to do things. If he wanted you to just, you know, float on a cloud, he could have made you a tree. But he gave you this wonderful resources, this wonderful intellect that he gave us, this ability to connect with him and to bring his will into our lives and execute it. He gave that to each one of us. Your faithfulness has a future. It has a future. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, I've done my very best this morning to show your people that your redemption plan goes far beyond redemption. That according to your word, Lord, it is your will that those who are faithful unto you, Lord, in this life can be depended and trusted upon to be faithful during the millennial reign, during the golden age as it stretches out eternity after eternity, that you have those that sit with you in your throne under your authority as you're set in your Father's throne under the Father's authority. Father, let these words penetrate the hearts of your people today. Bring a conviction upon every one of us and begin with me, Lord. Let my heart be convicted that I might walk in greater faithfulness, that I might walk in greater dedication, that I might walk in greater closeness with you. Come on, all over the room. Why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? Having heard the word, just however it impacts your heart, just begin to share that with the Lord this morning. God, I want to be closer to you. God, I want to be faithful to you. Lord, sometimes I'm dull. I just don't understand the implications of my actions. Open the eyes of my understanding that I might see, that I might behold the plan that you have for me, and that I might walk accordingly, laying aside, oh God, all the weights of this world, all of the besetting sins. God, that I might serve you. Come on, all over the room, just reach out. Ask God for help this morning. He'll help you. He'll help you. Sister Angela, would you please? He'll help you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for being the perfect example of faithfulness to us. And help us, Lord God, to remain faithful to you, your perfect will, and way for our life, God, so that we can take full advantage of all the blessings that you have for us in our future. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I just thank God for being here. Thank God for all of you. Just reminding you that if you have not had an opportunity to give, to please do so to support the ministry. And lastly, to remind everyone again about our Money in the Master seminar, which will be held here at the church on Saturday, September 19th, from 10 a.m. to noon. Amen. I pray that you all are blessed and have a blessed week. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.